This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn was 434.5, up 1.75. May corn 442.5, up 1.75. July corn 449.25, up 1.75. January soybeans were 1326.75, up 23. March soybeans, 1294.25, up 15.75. May soybeans, 1274.25, up 14.25. March wheat was 573.5, up 4.5. May wheat, 580.5, up 5.5. July wheat, 587.25, up 6.5. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Monday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Monday afternoon. Soybeans found strength in demand, wheat gained ground on technical trading, and corn closed on a positive side from the strength in soybeans. In the northern and western part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed. At 414 to 429, soybean bids were 11 to 14 cents higher at 1271 to 1293. In the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher at 407 to 432. Soybean bids were 14 to 16 cents higher at $12.94 to $13. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mixed at 421 to 433. Soybean bids were 15 to 18 cents higher at 13 to 1340. Wheat bids were 5 cents higher at 559 to 602. Now on to the soybean processors' cash soybean bids. They were 16 cents higher at 1299 to 1329, with the basis steady at 5 to 35 over the March. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $461.90 to $466.90 per ton. That was up $8.30, with the basis steady at 40 to 45 over the March. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were mixed at 435 to 443. Basis was steady to 4 cents lower at option to 8 over the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher at 420 to 429. The basis steady to a penny lower at 6 to 15 under the March. Soybeans ended 21 to 28 cents higher at 1326 to 1342, with the basis 5 to 12 cents higher at 33 to 48 over the March. New crop wheat prices were 7 cents higher at 562 to 570, with the basis steady at 17 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids at steady to 2 cents higher at 450 to 453. These elevators raised their soybean prices 16 to 18 cents, with quotations of 1360 to 1368. Soft wheat closed 6 to 10 cents higher at 1360 to 1368, and Milo ended the day 2 cents higher at 484 to 485. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 419 to 428, soybeans 1063 to 1101. In the central part of the state, corn was 414 to 434, and soybeans were 1079 to 1102. In the southern part of the state, corn went from 416 to 438, and soybeans 1079 to 1113. Wheat ranged from 543 to 562. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock future quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle were 136.60, down 10 cents. April live cattle, 137.07, up 10 cents. June live cattle, 130.02, down 22 cents. January feeder cattle were 167.82, down 82 cents. March feeder cattle, 166.47, down $1.17. April feeder cattle, 167.52, down $1.02. February lean hogs were 85.37, down 45 cents. April lean hogs, 90.37, down 62 cents. May lean hogs, 98.35, down 52 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture, bringing you Monday the 13th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 58 cents lower in the range of 75 to 76.85, with a weighted average carcass price of 76.09. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 52 to 58, 4 to 5 weights 54 to 62, 5 to 550 weights 56 to 64, and 550 and up 62 to 67. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $52 to $55. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 11,740. And now the report from the Fairview Sale Barn Special Feeder Cattle Auction for Saturday, September 11th. They had receipts of 987 head, starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones. They had some three weights that went from 121 to 126. Some fancy three weights brought 235 to 237. Four weights were 200 to 214, and some fancies brought 195 to 205. Five weights were 196 to 204 for a set of fancies, and the rest were bringing 170 to 189. Six weights were 165 to 183. Seven weights were 161 to 172, and some eight weights at 163. Now on to feeder heifers, medium and large ones. They had some three weights bring 183 to 195. Four weights were 176.50 to 189.50. Five weights were 160 to 174. Six weights were 150 to 160.50. Seven weights were 143 to 151. On to the feeder bulls, medium and large ones. Four weights were 194. Five weights were 166 to 179.50. And six weights were 151 to 168. And seven weights were bringing 142. Now in the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 139.50 and heifers on a live basis at 139.50 to 143. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 372 loads traded. Calculations were a 200-pound pork carcass was 83.17, and that was 88 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $216.94, and that was $1.96 higher, with select carcasses at $214.76, and that was $3.18 higher. From the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000. That compared to 110,000 last week and 125,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 430,000, that compared to 306,000 last week and 426,000 a year ago. Now from Hamilton's weekly hay auction for Saturday, January 11th, they had receipts of 1,088 bales, starting with the alfalfa Good quality large squares, $50 a bale. Large rounds, 42 to 46. Alfalfa orchard grass, premium quality small squares, 590 to 660. Orchard grass, premium quality small squares, $6.30 to $8. And large squares were $75. Wheat straw, good quality small squares, were $2.80 to $2.90 a bale. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. January corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.32. February corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.31. January corn delivered to Scottville, $4.23. February corn delivered to Scottville, $4.22. January beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.37. February beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.24. January wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.78. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.32, corn at Scottville is $4.23, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $13.37, and wheat at Scottville is $5.78. Weighing in at 5 pounds, unmanned aircraft have a bright future in farming. That's according to agronomist Kevin Price of Kansas State University.
The technology will easily pay for itself very quickly. Even a 1% savings will be a great savings to the farmer. But we think you can do closer to 2, 3% by improving your ability to put down fertilizer in the right places at the right time and save on their fertilizer costs and catch diseases earlier before it costs them a lot more to treat.
Speaking at the American Farm Bureau annual convention, Price sees the primary farm application for drones as mapping tools to determine where fields need attention.
The first step will be that once they get the imagery, they can just start looking at it and saying, there's a bad spot in my field. I need to go figure out what's going on there. So you can use it, even a low-level processing, just as a crop scouting tool to start determining where there might be a problem.
Price says that privacy issues are important and shouldn't be minimized, but he says he would not like to see the technology held up while new laws are written.
My feelings are that most of the laws are already out there, the privacy laws, and what we need to do is make sure that people understand those laws and that if people are violating them, then they should be punished for violating those laws.
Price adds that farmers who use drones, in his words, should be good neighbors. The 2013 Illinois Crop Production Summary was released. Illinois was the largest soybean producer in the nation for 2013 and the second largest in corn, right behind Iowa. Planted area for corn was at 12 million acres and was down 6% from 2012. The harvested area was at 11.8 million acres, and that is also down 4% from the previous year. The corn yield is estimated at 178 bushels per acre, up 73 bushels from 2012. Production is estimated at 2.1 billion bushels, 63% above the previous year. This represents the third highest yield and production total on record. Planted area for soybeans was at 9.45 million acres, that is up 4% from 2012. Harvested area was at 9.42 million acres, which is up 5% from the previous year. The soybean yield is estimated at 49 bushels per acre, up 6 bushels from 2012, and the third highest yield on record. Production is estimated at 462 million bushels, 20% above the previous year. Sorghum and potato production in Illinois was down. Winter wheat, oats, and hay were all up for 2013. A farm management specialist at the University of Illinois has fitted the countywide trend yields for corn to the average cash rents in Illinois. Todd Gleason has more on how he found a relationship between the two and developed an equation to estimate the projected average cash rent.
Numbers are just fun to work with for some people, like Gary Schnitke. He's one of them. He's a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. And over the last few years, USDA has released an annual cash rent for agricultural land by county report, which Schnitke couldn't just help himself about. He had to work with those numbers. The first thing he noted was the widespread in cash rents paid throughout the state of Illinois.
USDA released its county cash rents for 2013. There's obviously quite a range there. Our highest cash rent was for DeWitt County. It had an average cash rent of $385, and the lowest was Johnson County with $69 an acre.
Now, most would be satisfied at this point, but not Schnitke. He decided it would be really cool to fit the average cash rent in each county to the trend line corn yield, just to see if there was a real relationship.
Well, as you would expect, there is a relationship between expected yields and cash rents. Essentially, we developed an equation that would tell you what average cash rents were for any particular trend line yield, and that's reported in the paper. But it is minus 227 plus 2.7 times your expected yield, so that gives you the feel for that. We fitted that relationship, and that fits the data pretty well. But there are outliers.
Those outliers, for the most part, lay in one area of Illinois.
There's a number of central Illinois counties that have much higher cash rents than would be implied by that relationship, and those include DeWitt County, Logan County, Sagamon County, Macon County. All those central Illinois farms have higher cash rents than would be implied by that productivity relationship, and that's likely due to just the competitive pressures in that area for farmers wanting to rent more land.
Simple economics. Tight supply, high demand means higher prices. It also means, probably, that farmers in the area are working on much tighter budgets.
Well, let's just take Sagamon County. It's $110 higher than would be explained by that relationship. So, yeah, that would have a pretty big impact on profitability.
And what does that mean? Well, Schnitke thinks if the average cash price of corn is below $5 a bushel, and that's the expectation at the moment, then cash rents should come down for the 2014 growing season. I'm Todd Gleason.
And now we'll hear from Mike Hamilton with a summary of how Hamilton's hay auction went this past Saturday.
Well, we were a little light on supply. I guess it was due to the weather. I don't know. The alfalfa orchard grass was from $2.10 to a top of $8 a bale. Alfalfa orchard grass was at $2.10 to $6.90. We had small squares of grass from $2.10 to $3.20, and we had straw at $2.80 and $2.90 a bale. The round bales, the alfalfa was from $16 on some rained-on stuff up to $46 on some pretty nice hay. The grass was $28 to $36 a bale, and the straw was at $16. In the 3x3s, the alfalfa was from 31 up to 50 a bale. We had some millet at 30, and we had some old hay at 35.
All right. And do you already know a little bit of what's going to be available next weekend?
Yeah, we've got some 3x3s of mixed grass in. We've got some alfalfa, and we've got some small squares of orchard grass and brome mixed and some mixed grass coming. We should have if the weather holds out, we should have a pretty nice sale next week. Hopefully everything will be back to normal.
All right. And if anyone has any questions, who can they call?
They can reach me anytime on my cell phone at 618-410-4293.
Hamilton's hay auction takes place every Saturday starting at 11 a.m. Don Schaefer with the Midwest Truckers Association was in the station today. We spoke about some new laws and regulations that are either coming into place or being postponed.
Well, the speed limit change, 70 miles an hour, the law went into effect January 1. However, the law doesn't change until the signs change. Now, because of all the snow issues and everything, the IDOT crews have not been able to get out there to change the signs. So you'll notice out there right now that the signs still say 65. So the speed limit is still 65 miles an hour and will remain so until the signs change.
So if you get pulled over by a cop, you can't use, "But sir, the law changed."
It ain't going to work yet. and of course, in some places now, you got to remember that it's going to remain 65 and or 55. Depending on where you're at in the listening area here, I mean the Metro East area, some of that area right now in the interstate highways is 55. It's going to remain 55. And in a lot of those areas also where it's 65, it's going to remain 65. So just watch the signs, and that will tell you, you know, always follow the posted speed limit, no matter where you're at. That's your best argument, your best defense against anything. And when the 70 comes around, you'll see it on the signs.
Speaking of other rule changes, there's something to do with cigarette butts, if I'm right.
Well, there was a bill also that I think this is the bane of a lot of people, that they hate seeing people, you know, flick their cigarettes out the window. There is a bill that has been signed into law, went into effect January 1, that you can get a be fined for flicking that cigarette butt or anything else out the car window. It's called littering. There's a fine up there. It can be a fine of $500. So you may want to think twice. You got an ashtray in the car, go ahead and use it.
And medical marijuana has been approved in the state of Illinois, but as I understand it, this doesn't really affect truckers too much, right?
Medical marijuana is a law, and it would be going into effect, I mean, this summer. But the thing about it is that federal law now precludes any use of marijuana or any other what they would call Schedule II drug by truck drivers. So there's a ban on there. No matter what the issue is, you can't say, well, I'm taking medical marijuana because I have glaucoma or you know, I'm taking it because of side effects of cancer and everything, and I drive a truck. It won't work. You're still subject to the federal drug and alcohol testing regulations, and you're also scheduled, you're also must adhere to the ban on the schedule of drugs. And because of that, that means no medical marijuana for truck drivers.
And speaking more on the medical side of things, there are some issues floating around medical cards for truckers right now. Is that right?
You know, the one thing that we've been talking about, I think, talking to your listeners about, hundreds of thousands of people who have commercial driver's licenses in Illinois. And one of the requirements, it's a federal law that said that if you have a CDL, or you drive a commercial, or you drive any vehicle over 10,000 pounds, you're required to have this medical card. You can be an interstate truck driver, you can be an intrastate truck driver, but if you're driving that vehicle over 10,001 pounds, you have to have the medical card. Most everybody's familiar with it if you drive any type of truck. One of the provisions in the federal law that went into effect 2 years ago gave a 2-year window for CDL holders to take their medical card to, in Illinois, the Secretary of State's office so that they can register your medical card with your CDL. They're doing this as part of a federal requirement. So if you're trying to get a couple hundred thousand people to get their medical card and to make a special trip to the Secretary of State's office, ain't going to happen too often. Illinois, though, has done a very good job in terms of getting truck drivers to get in. They've sent them letters. They've given them notices. They've done everything in the world they can to get them to show their CDL when they take their CDL renewal, to show their medical card, or to show your medical card before January 30th. That's the federal deadline. Well, they've been preaching this for 2 years now. Lo and behold, the other day they said, well, we're going to give you another year. So that means now you have until January 30th of 2015 to get your medical card reported with the Illinois Secretary of State's office. You know, that's good or bad, but, I mean, they've done a great effort in Illinois to get everyone to do it. Now you got the stragglers who will probably never do it. But if you don't do it, you lose your CDL. So then you get a note from the Secretary of State's office saying your commercial driver's license has been canceled. You can no longer drive a truck. That'll wake them up, and then that'll get them to get in to take care of it.
Again, that was Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.